This download is brought to you by Cooked and Bombed. Visit us online at www.cookandbomb.co.uk or chill.cream.org.
And now you lost to junk in room so jumbled, no door leads to out. So sit and mope, then kick the junk around. What for? That junk be junk like you and still stay junk in spite of all your fretty booting. And when at last fresh crisp air spankle cheeks and longing lungs draw deep to fill, then gasp and hack who breathing cornflower, ginger grounds and cocoa Hoover bag. Then welcome. Moors. In blue jam, 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 blue jam.
I'm Max Deakin.
And I'm Patricia Deakin.
And this is Lisa.
Say hello.
Hello.
Lisa's 6 years old.
I think you'd say we're a very loving family.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been very close for 8 years.
But we have agreed to get divorced now. For her sake, really.
The idea being that she needs more insecurity at home.
Insecurity?
Yeah. That's it. This is to give her the real sort of drive and ambition.
It's a very competitive world for child actors.
Yeah, but
between us, we just want to give her every chance.
I want to be the best.
Obviously, it's not going to be easy.
No.
I've been asked to use alcohol to become abusive to Patricia. And violent. Really fuck her about quite heavily. My love.
Get off.
I'm not allowed to comfort her, obviously. We have to make the atmosphere as acrimonious as possible.
Lisa. Yeah?
Leave the snivelling bitch alone.
Mummy's crying.
I don't give a fuck. Daddy. Are you acting now, are you?
Max.
I don't fucking know. This is good. This is good.
wheel on a trolley. Mary Ann Hobbs being Hobbs on a trolley. The corner of her great big head, supported by a wooden buttress. And when she smiles, it looks like an exploding spig. All the children are screaming from the bathroom. The air is full of boiling. Please cover her up with a tarpaulin.
Well, I am sorry it's becoming a nuisance. I'm sure we can think of some way around it.
Well, I hope so. Some people are beginning to say it's gone a bit far.
Oh, I think that's him now. What's that, love?
Bloody lions have left a carcass in the drive.
Another accident, David.
Oh, hello, Jane. Got stuck marking the homework.
She was just popping round to say some of the parents are getting a bit sick of the lions taking their children.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, the Wilsons have lost all three.
Really?
Yeah, this morning, love. They found them eating satyr in the Ark Bay.
But, I mean, Barry was quite all right when they took his other two.
He was only being polite, love.
Well, he's been enjoying himself at the club bar on the savings.
So when they get in the building,
yes,
David,
yes.
They go berserk.
Well, they would, you know.
Mr. Clare's lost his eyes on Tuesday.
Do you know, they aren't wild animals.
Yeah, there were still sclerotic stains on the wall.
They feel trapped in a building.
It's not very nice.
They shat in the infant stickle bricks.
Yes, yeah, it's not just the children. I've lost six stars.
Oh, sure, but I mean, it's not as if I'm landmining the place, is it?
Well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what?
He did landmine the playing fields.
David.
Well, they're pretty deep. They're only meant to go off during the dad's race on sports day.
Sounds like we ought to have a little chat about that as well.
Sure, Jane.
And give us a bell if you think the lions are coming to the school again. I know you won't.
Yeah, sure. I'll move the dustbins as well. I'll try and block them in a bit.
Yeah.
Bye, Jane.
Bye.
Ciao.
Oh, it's 9:30, love.
Hmm?
9:30. You mind the Lashers drive?
Oh, shit. Is Colin back yet?
Well, I haven't heard any bangs.
Here comes the bastard now.
Are you sure we're safe here?
No. Okay, now, watch this. This will serve the bastard right.
What for?
Oh, nothing in particular. Wow.
Ooh.
Look at that. Jesus, he's fucked. He's gas. Here, let's phone Lucy.
Do you have to?
Yeah. Lucy? It's David. What the hell was that noise? Oh, yeah, I can see now. Hey, widow. What? You better take this, love. She's throwing a wobbly.
Hello, Lucy.
See what I mean?
Lucy.
Wailing like a fat lover.
Lucy, shall I come over?
Hey, what are you, the Plastic Ono Band?
David!
You better go over. Sounds like she's going to go right off her fanny.
Yeah.
Listen, Lucy, Auntie Judy's coming over.
Call me in half an hour. Don't want to be there all night.
Yeah, sure. Oh, well, mind the drive, love. It's covered in dung.
Thanks, love. Bye. The lions are out the front again, love.
Bloody hell.
Must have got through the stream.
Yeah.
Looks like they got Jane when she left.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's her head. Oh, they've gone for me, love.
She's still got that sarky look on her face.
Yeah. They seem quite hungry.
Mm.
Get off.
You won't believe this.
What?
They started with my belly.
It's usually the throat.
Yeah. Now they've gone for the neck.
You probably just gave them the idea.
Yeah.
Hey, Judy. Are you supposed to be cooking for the Zickleys tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, what the bloody hell am I going to do if you're just a pile of bones?
There's some stuff in the freezer.
Yeah, but I won't be here in time.
Yeah.
Even if I defrost it tonight. Jude's? Jude's?
I mean, I said I wouldn't be able to leave work until about 6:30. I won't have a chance to do any preparation. Oh dear, look at you. I can't give them stir fry. And I won't have a chance to prepare anything overnight. Let go! If I'm going to end up as a string of guts in the garden, then who's going to tidy me up and give the Zicklies a beer? Jesus, this is bad planning. Wait, come back with that. How the fuck am I going to play football without that? Jesus, you guys.
Remember.
It was about here at 2:00 AM. Well, it was about here at 2:00 AM. Well, it was about here at 2:00 AM. I was mugged by a bloke disguised as an armed robber.
My name's Anthony Marsden, and this is my wife, Jennifer.
Hello.
And about 6 months ago, I moved out of the house and started living outside. Just felt ridiculous living in such a big house, living indoors all the time. When you think about it, we don't need heating. Big kitchens, carpets. I think the idea may have come from a book I was reading, but I can't honestly remember now. I, sleep anywhere, really. Sometimes under a hedge on the estate, or one of the benches in the garden. Well, the other night I was in the tractor shed.
It does worry me when it's awfully cold.
Bedding down with the cows, it's quite a good one.
I do worry when I know Anthony's out in the open on a particularly bleak night. Rain, sleet.
Plenty to eat in the kitchen, garden, cabbages, potatoes, carrots. I did manage to get hold of a blackbird that had crashed into the greenhouse the other day. It's not particularly tasty, I have to say, but...
We're having lamb tonight. Going to roast some lamb and some of those little carrots. Why don't you join us for supper tonight?
I do miss the cat. I don't see the cat so much.
Richard's bringing Helen tonight.
Dog's very loyal.
She's awfully sweet.
The other day I caught the horse giving me a funny look. I'm not sure what he's picking up on there, but...
We've blocked off that draft in the drawing room. It's awfully snug now.
Sometimes I do find myself staring in through the drawing room window, gazing rather wistfully at the fire and the family together.
You do cut a pretty sorry sight out there, really.
Some days, like today, you find yourself thinking, all I'd have to do is just walk back in through the front door and I'd be warm. But I don't allow myself to think like that. One has to protect oneself from what one has to admit is an extremely persuasive argument.
Why didn't you come in tonight, darling?
It's just difficult living in the face of such a glaring contradiction.
Just for an hour or so.
The only mitigating factor is that almost certainly I will live a few years less. I can imagine being picked off by a sharp frost in the winter.
I'm afraid that's probably true.
So at least I won't have to live with that contradiction quite so long. I suppose you could say that if I was to go back indoors, then I wouldn't have to live with that contradiction anyway. That doesn't bear thinking about, really. It's not something that...
I never lock up at night, you know.
It's useful to dwell on.
Something to forget. Okay, Jerry, you got me loud and clear?
Yes.
Right, we're off. Jerry Springer, welcome.
Well, thanks. It's nice to be here.
Okay, now, Jerry, tell us your name.
Jerry Springer.
Are you bigger than your name?
Well, I'm just a schlub that has a show.
Wait a minute, hang on. You do present perhaps the best talk TV show in the world, certainly one of the most successful in the States. In fact, I gather it's just gone to number one.
Yeah, it's now number one. But it's doing really good now. But, you know, because it's hot and it's kind of new and it's incredibly outrageous, so people are taking notice.
So is it going to get more outrageous?
Well, I think it's impossible to be... I mean, outrageous is outrageous. There aren't degrees of it.
Somebody said outrageous is as outrageous does, and when it does, it doesn't, when it gets to the end.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So when you go on your show...
Yes.
One of the things I've noticed is that you are moving from side to side.
Right.
Now, that is one of the elements of genius. Why did you choose to do that?
Yeah, I just keep walking around and watching what's going on. I try not to be the focal point of the show.
A lot of people just come forward into the camera.
Yes.
Is the lateral movement something to do with the modesty or what?
I guess. I never thought of it in those psychological terms, but I suspect...
Was that your idea?
Well, I guess. No one ever told me. I just kind of walk around.
Is that sort of a pendulum thing? What's going on?
Right. I like to be back with the audience. I don't want to be on the stage.
We don't really know who you are.
Right.
It's kind of like, who is... Wait a minute. Is that guy standing up? I know. He's the guy with the mic.
That's exactly right.
One of the things that these idiots over here don't do is a decent warm-up act. You do one, don't you?
Yeah, I go out there just to, you know, warm up the audience, tell some silly
jokes. And to warm them up, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, is part of that to warm them up?
Well, there's not...
So what sort of things do you say to them?
I just, you know, I go in there and I tell them that, you know, we were out in L.A. recently and taping a show, and for 2 hours this gorgeous woman was banging on my hotel door. Well, finally I let her out.
Right, now that they're all thinking that she's on the outside.
Yes.
You know, because the woman was on the wrong side of the door.
There you go.
Okay. Now, I want to look at the meat and spunk of the show, which is the guests, right?
Yes,
now,
that's it.
I wonder which sort of stories you would and wouldn't do. I mean, at the moment, you're quite prepared to do anything to be outrageous.
We won't do anything that's normal.
So would you do I Fell in Love with a Guy Who Shot My Husband?
Yes.
Okay.
That's outrageous, don't you agree?
It's terrible. What'd you do? I fell in love with a guy who was shooting me.
Well, if...
Brackets, it was horny as the bullets went inside of me.
It was horny as the bullet... Who was horny?
The woman found it sexually attractive in some way. Yes?
You've got it. Well,
Yes.
It's outrageous. As long
it's outrageous.
As long as it's outrageous, it gets on.
I fell in love with a guy who shot my kids. It's outrageous.
Yeah, that's...
Shot the kids.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I mean...
Brackets, it was something to do with the blood and the screams.
Yeah, I mean, as I said...
Okay, so that's a yes. I fell in love with a guy who shot my kids.
You're not listening to me. I'm saying anything that is outrageous is yes.
My doctor fingers my kids up the ass.
I said anything that is outrageous is on the show.
Would you even have...
Keep giving me a list.
Give
me a list of something that's normal, and then I'll say, no, that doesn't belong on the show.
My husband's a schizo. He keeps beating himself up about it.
We will... I don't know how many times I have to answer your question.
You would say yes.
Right.
What I want to know is, what really gets you down in this life of ours? People suffering from Pash Crane's Dubosa. I mean, that's just horrible. Or the industrial diseases, people poisoned by tosfates and buggerides.
That sounds awful.
I mean, some of them even lose use of their necks.
Diseases are always sad.
Horrible. These children losing their ability to use their thoughts.
Yeah,
when they have them, but they just can't use them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's great pain in the world. One of the prices of life is that, and it isn't fair.
We haven't talked about a final thought.
Okay.
Yeah, now they're very important in the show.
Yes.
Where does the inspiration for that come from?
I used to do it when I was doing the news.
If you had to sum up the situation with Saddam Hussein, Bill Clinton...
I think my notion there is that Saddam is clearly a danger to his own people as well as the surrounding nations. But I don't think what we ought to do at this point is to kill more innocent people just to get him at this point.
Right.
If there's a way to remove him without killing innocent people, then obviously I'm in favor of that. I don't know that anyone has found out exactly how to do that, but I think we should still try.
And so when you write that down and say it, it actually turns into something that makes sense, yeah?
Makes sense.
light I've got. Wanna feel the night. Every day it shines down on me. Don't you think that I see? Don't you think that I see what it's all about? Hard to look the other way while the world passes me by. Is trying to bum me out. It's a pretty big world, God, and I am awful small. Every day they rain down on me, flower in a hailstorm, flower in a hailstorm. Living for the drought, I could throw it back at them, but then I play their game. Everyone is trying to bum me out. When I came into this world, they slapped me, and every day since then I'm slapped again. King, an unsightly coward. You see, I know I'm gonna win. Turn the ugly light I've got. Don't wanna see my face. I know, don't you think that I know what they're talking about? If they step on me tonight, they're gonna pay someday. Everyone is trying to bum me out.
As a frail old man in a wheelchair, trying to shake hands with an elephant.
What on earth is that?
I was upstairs when I saw it.
Karen?
I shouted to my wife.
Karen! Look outside!
And
there's a thing in the sky.
We ran outside and...
Come on!
And there it was. This long green thing in the sky. And everyone was coming out of their houses. It must have been 200 people pointing at this big green thing in the sky. Then someone said, "That's not the sky. It's the ground." And it was. It was the ground. We were all just looking at a little green bottle on the ground.
surrounded by squealing sick children, Kevin Greening farts like a sex and laughs to see the air full of chemotherapy wigs and bald little heads.
Come in.
Afternoon, Doctor.
Oh, yes. Take a pew.
Thanks.
Now, what seems to be the problem?
Well, I've got quite a lot of pain in my gut.
Right.
Comes and goes, but it's pretty strong.
Can you show me where?
Here.
Any diarrhea?
A bit, but mainly just the pains. Cramp.
Right. I'd like you to go to the supermarket.
Supermarket?
Yeah. Could you get me a dozen eggs, some flour, butter, caster sugar and lemons?
Right.
I want to make a cake. Tonight. Do you need some money?
Is this for me?
No, it's for me. Now, run on.
What about my gut pain?
Well, get me the eggs, and then I'll see if there's anything I can do.
Well, it's quite a long way.
Oh, it's only half an hour this time of day.
I haven't really got half an hour.
Well, I'm sure you will have if you think about it.
Well, couldn't you just prescribe something?
Like what?
That kaolin stuff.
Well, if you know what you want, you don't need me, do you?
Well, I don't know exactly what I need.
Well, in that case, I think you'd better pop along, don't you?
Well, but I know enough to know that...
Irritable bowel syndrome can be lethal if untreated.
Yeah, but...
Spastic colon?
Well, is that what I've got? Then?
Bowel cancer?
Bowel cancer?
Well,
do you think there's a chance?
Make sure the eggs are free range.
No, do you?
Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to tell you. I may have seen something else as well.
Have you?
And it's caster sugar, please.
Did you see anything else?
You have got that, have you? Caster sugar.
Well, I can't go if you'd muddle me up like this.
I may have seen very strong signs that your balls are about to shatter.
Shatter?
Yes. You do drive a car, don't you?
Yeah.
Driver's balls. Occasionally, the balls of a driver do shatter if they become calcified and then subject to engine vibration.
And you think mine are going to shatter?
While you're about it, get us a tin of decaffeinated coffee.
But I need to...
Here's an extra tenner.
You'll tell me what I've got when I get back.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Bye, then.
Calcified balls.
Yes, yes. I'll know by the time you come back. Alison, you got a moment? I've got a bit of a problem. Thanks.
Michael.
Hello, Alison.
Problem?
Yeah. I'm having a really bad morning. I can't work out anyone's symptoms. I had to send them all off on spurious errands.
Right.
I've got Mr. Pepys getting my dry cleaning. Arnold Flepp's at the supermarket. The Marks family are washing my wife's car. And they're all going to come back expecting me to have some sort of answer.
Bloody hell, Michael.
I know. I just can't seem to... There aren't any obvious answers.
Well, why don't you go out and I'll see them?
Oh. Really?
Yeah. You go out for a bit.
That's very kind.
And while you're out there, you could pick me up a leg of lamb from Laxton's. Deal?
Sure.
Okay.
Thanks, Alison.
Bye, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Sarah? I've got him out. Yeah. Change the locks. Have his room emptied and packed and remove the plaque from the door. Yeah. And can you phone the agency to get two guards put on the door? Great. Hey, Sarah. 10 fucking nil.
Just
I'm Marcus Booge. This is my wife, Linda.
Hello.
And,
they're difficult people to live next door to at the best of times.
Stuck up.
They are, really, but this has really pushed it.
We've been under a lot of stress, haven't we?
I'm Raymond Dealey.
And I'm Angela Jout.
I don't really know what all this fuss and bother is about.
And my name's Julian Bemper. I work for the Varsley Council, and currently I'm trying to resolve the dispute in Halliwell Drive over a giant.
We've been looking after Paul, that's our giant, for some friends for a few months.
And he's very easygoing, really.
It's not just that he's big, he's also very scruffy. He wears big, baggy shorts made of the sort of sacking material, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they're not even done up properly. And then he's got...
It's like a tarpaulin, isn't it?
It's just got a hole for his head. Keeps the rain off him. It's like a poncho. It's filthy.
I mean, they have to work very hard to find any fault with him at all, to be honest.
They don't groom him. That's another bugbear for me. They don't even keep him nice. I'm not saying he should wear a suit. I mean, special occasions, that would be one thing, but... Just talking about...
A decent pair of trousers.
Worst thing he does is dance around and whistle occasionally.
There's no crime in that, is there?
It's not like they've got a big dog in there, because he knows what he's doing. It's definitely...
No, he runs amok, doesn't he? He's made gestures, hasn't he?
He's twanged the clothesline a lot of times as well.
He leans over and takes the pegs off. He's tampered with the fruit, hasn't he? Pear trees. Blacked off the fruit and squashed them.
He does look over the fence, but...
Not that interested, is he?
Well, no, I mean, it's just another garden, isn't it? There's nothing special.
Yeah, he might look in occasionally, but so what? You know, we're neighbours, the sort of thing that happens.
Mm.
They see us sunbathing in the nude, and we don't complain about that.
Well, that's the snooping, isn't it?
Yeah, that's terrible if you're trying to have a bath, or... Sometimes if I'm up in the bedroom, I can see him looking in.
Steams the windows up, doesn't he?
He licks the window as well. That's really disgusting.
What frightens me is that sooner or later his tongue's going to come in.
I wouldn't say that's the worst thing he does, though. He plays with himself, which I think is absolutely disgusting. And he looks at you like when he's doing it, like he knows exactly what he's doing. He's got a laughy look.
It's something slightly... off-putting about it.
He has seen Linda naked, but that doesn't bother him.
And it's hardly as if he's a gossip, is it? I mean,
he passes on little snippets of information, but it's harmless stuff, you know.
It's not gossip, it's not malicious.
He's like a kid.
Yeah.
He's just like a little kid.
And to be honest, he can't really talk that well.
No.
Anyway.
I'm outside the Dealey's house, and I've come here for a meeting with the Booges. Now, I'm quite confident that a compromise can be reached about the giant, perhaps using bylaws.
We're looking into classifying it as a building.
A building?
What? Yeah. It's pretty tall, isn't it?
25
yeah.
foot tall.
Yeah. 25.
Marcus measured it.
What a theodolite.
Yeah, well, that doesn't make him a bloody building, does it?
It does.
Well, technically, it could do. How long does it stand still for?
For 5 hours?
5 hours at least, yeah.
What on earth are you talking
about? He stands still for up to 5 hours at a time.
No, he does not. He skips and whistles most of the time, and you know it.
Well, it feels like 5 hours when he's staring in through the window.
Oh, come on, that is just a fantasy.
And he snoops. Yeah. He does all the time, snooping.
Well, it's not as if you've got anything to hide anyway, is it?
What do you mean by that?
It means that you don't sleep together anymore.
What?
Where the hell did you get that from?
Okay, if we can
Paul told
consider...
I thought you said he didn't gossip.
So what if I did? He said he's seen Marcus whack himself off into the bog.
I beg your pardon, he did no
and
such thing.
And his paste in the laundry bag.
Marcus?
I bloody didn't. If anyone abuses his groin, it's that bloody great gog in your garden.
Yeah, I've seen him do that.
Yeah, well, he caught it off your thick old husband.
Yeah. Stop him talking.
That is an outrage.
Okay, well,
that's slander. Okay. That's basically. Stop that, this.
Why are you getting so angry?
Because if anybody is obsessed, it's you.
No, we're not.
You are obsessed with our private life.
Put him down.
I beg your pardon.
Put him down.
I can't believe you just said that.
He's a vermin.
He is.
That's an issue.
I just have him destroyed.
He's got emotional. I'm not going to sit here and talk about murder.
It can't be murder. If he's a vermin, it's not murder.
He is not vermin.
He is a man who gets turned on by cold porcelain.
Exactly.
Will you stop that topic of conversation?
Exactly.
Shut up.
Just get out of my house. I'm not going to sit here and talk to you. Don't look at me like that. I can't. Yeah.
I found the meeting quite depressing, actually. The only other case I know of is one that occurred in Suffolk, where about 20 of the neighbours got together, got the giant very drunk, and then just kicked it to death.
You're filth, get out.
We can still look at the building angle.
Stay, I'll be around today to be available for you to see. I'm about to go, and then you'll know for me to stay. I got to be me. You'll never be in doubt, that's what it's all about. You can't take me for granted and smile. Calvin, please, I'm gone. Forget reaching me by phone, because I promise I'll be gone for a while. When you see me again, I hope that you have been the kind of person that you really are now. We got to get in straight. How could I ever be late when you're my woman taking up my time? Oh, how could you ever allow? I wonder pocket for fun, ha ha. When you know that you never number two, number one gonna be number one. I'll be good. I wish I could get this message over to you. Shape me again. I hope that you haven't been the kind of person you really are now. I'll be so good. I wish I could get the message over to you now.
Please. Thank you.
Will you shut up, please? Excuse me.
Yeah?
Are these your birds?
No.
They won't shut up.
Really? Oi, you lot, will you shut up?
Thanks.
No problem.
For me. Stuck up little bastard.
When up Escalon be down Escalon, and down be further down and going downer. When boozed so long on melancholy, who face sag floppy bag, that shook sends granny wattle slap napes. And now you lost to junk in room, so jumbled, no door leads to out. So sit and mope, then kick the junk around, what for? That junk be junk like you and still stay junk in spite of all you fretty booting. And when at last fresh crisp air spankle cheeks and longing lungs draw deep to fill, then gasp and hack who breathing cornflower, ginger grounds and cocoa Hoover bag. Then welcome. Amours. In blue jam.
This download is brought to you by Cook and Bond. Visit us online at www.cookandbond.co.uk or chill.cream.org.